Thank you, Marty. And I hope all of you realize what a blessing it is to have our own missionary. I mean, he's right here in our class, and we get to pray him off and thank the Lord when he comes back. How many of you actually know Marty? How many of you don't really know who that guy was that just talked? Okay, career police officer, KPD, right? Like, I mean, he's like one that, the story I heard when I came, I was talking with one of the deacons who is a government official that handles bankruptcies for some jurisdiction within Michigan. And I mean, all huge bankruptcies go through him. And he said that they were doing a bankruptcy on some drug kingpin that I didn't even know we had kingpins around here. But he said that they were there trying to get the bankruptcy to get the federal money or something. And while this bankruptcy person, one of our church leaders, was sitting and the kingpin was sitting there, in behind, they saw out the window, Marty is backing up with his gun like on TV. And I thought, wow. I didn't know we had someone like that in our church. So if you ever want a good cops and robbers story. But he gave all that up, retired, in order to go into ministry, into missions. As a tactica, I don't even know what T-A-C-I-T-A means. What does it mean?
Teaching authorities.
He's evangelizing police departments in Central and South America. So that's so you know we have our own missionary right in this room that you know you've been near. You know, a lot of missionaries are just prayer cards stuck on your fridge. There's a real person. And it's kind of exciting to be able to pray for someone as they're going. Okay, if you have one of these booklets, you'll need it on your table. And if you don't have one, there are five on that empty table, five on that empty table. Margaret has one, but five on that empty table. So, and see the empty tables? So everybody needs one. Does anybody not have one? Someone can, there is an empty table right there, Linda, that's full of them. And pass them around. We have fill in the blanks. For those of you that have your books, it's chapter 10, and I've taken my pages out, so I have them with me. And this evening is going to be kind of exciting because this is going to be our first run at trying to cover the entire lesson in one. Remember, May we had two sessions. But now in June, we're covering all of chapter 10. And I actually have the slides for it right here. But this is the chapter 10, Dealing with Self, part 2. Again, for 2 months, we're focusing on how God says that we need to allow biblical change inside of us to deal with envy, jealousy, covetousness, and greed. And basically, this is a part of actually 4 lessons. May started them, but biblical hope. Some people have struggled with jealousy, fear, envy, greed, covetousness for their whole life. And this chapter is, there's hope. And actually, what you're going to see is we get into the actual steps of change. And one of the sheets that are in your handout would make a good little tape in the back of your Bible list. Next month, biblical change. And then in August, this section is going to end with biblically practicing the Word. And actually, how to transform your time in the Word into a tool, rather than into just facts. As Americans, Christians, we feel comfortable if we get up from our devotional readings and we just know more about Benjamin. You know, one more truth about, you know, Semiramis worship in Genesis 11. But it's not supposed to end there. We're supposed to apply it and make it a practice in our life, and this month is going to really hit on that. So those are crucial lessons that are ahead. Now, this is our verse for this month, and we're going to say it together. You should be able to see it. It's kind of small, but let's read it together. And those of you, let me see which pocket I have them in. Here are the wonderful cards that you remember. Ooh, one of them got, this month's got bent. But all of you that have these, This tool is for you to keep with you so that you can actually meditate. And if you don't have one of these, you can just make your own cards and meditate on this, because before we read it, I want you to notice what the emphasis is of this month's verse. You notice that there are options that are present within this passage. And that's why the theme of this 10th lesson is sanctification means I need to keep surrendering. It's a choice that I'm making on a regular basis. The Christian life is much like driving. When you're driving down the road, to the people in the car, they just see the car going the right way, hopefully. To the driver, it is an endless amount of this. There's an endless amount of tiny corrections because the wind is blowing. We were just crossing the Mackinac Bridge, and you know that section that's all metal? It seems like your car waffles on that, you know, and you're because it's not pavement, it's like there's nothing under you, you're on this grid. Or it could be that the road is curving or whatever, and you're constantly making those little adjustments. That's what sanctification is about. I keep surrendering to God's plan. I notice that my life is starting to go a little bit, and then I go, no, I don't, Lord, by your grace, I repent. And it's just constant little choices. It's a collection of choices. So do not let, that's a choice. But do not present is another choice. But present is another choice. So this lesson this week that we're going to go through is all about the little kind of almost, they become imperceptible little choices. You don't want to be in a car where someone's going like this. And yet that's how most people live their Christian lives. You know, I'm going to start reading the Bible. And then they forget about it for about 3 months. Oh, I'm going to start reading the Bible. That is, I mean, your family gets like the backseat of the car. They just get sick. God says it's keeping on daily. In fact, the most consistent Christians you meet are the ones that are making huge life-changing choices, little tiny, little steers at a time. They don't wait until they're over the rumble strip, across the median, and nearing the wall. They stay on this side of the yellow line. You understand what I mean? It's all those little choices. So let's read this together as our review tonight, or as a beginning. If you're just starting to, this is a key verse if you want to work on one this month. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. This little central point, this is actually what I was meditating on this week when I worked on this verse. Do you remember a month ago there was a garment factory that makes our clothes over in Pakistan? They make our clothes over there. And the garment factory was 7 stories or something high, and it collapsed, and 300 people, you probably read about in the news, were crushed to death inside and trapped. Many died, many trapped. A month or 23 days or something after the collapse, they pulled a woman out of there, still alive. They said she had such a different perspective on life. For 23 days, she thought she was dying. She thought she was a goner. Everybody around her died that was trapped. She came back out of that building, and she was a different person. You know what the Lord says? All of us should be like that woman dragged out of the building. We're all alive from the dead. We all have been given a brand new opportunity. We were dead in our trespasses and sin. We've been made alive in Christ. And He wants us, as being alive from the dead, to now give our members. You say, what members? Well, what members do you have? Your voice, your eyes, your mind. You understand, every part of our being, we give it back to the Lord because He gave us life. And so this whole verse is a constant reminder God wants us to surrender to his plan. Okay, first thing, page 154, those of you that have your books, and I want to make sure I'm tracking right. As soon as we, I've got the right page numbers. Now, last time I made some mistakes. If you notice me saying it on some page, just start going like this, and we'll correct all at once. Because I was telling someone in the line today that when I was in high school, you had to choose between Latin and typing. Guess which one I took? Latin, yeah. So I still type with two fingers. But page 154 says, you must decisively put off. It's a choice. It's a conscious choice. I have to decide by the influence of the Spirit of God, illumining the Word of God into my regenerated heart. I have to realize what God wants me to put off, not what other people, you know, so much influence me. See, we have to be careful about being pushed about with everybody's, you know, personal preference. What does God want me to put off? As I read the Bible, he shows me it's a preoccupation with self. All of us are, we have a self-bias impulse. We are, there's a constant impulse within us to be biased. I mean, if we hear everybody's troubles, we always think about it in relation to ourselves. If we hear about someone's benefit, we think in relation to ourselves. And always our first bias is for ourselves. And that develops, the older we get, into a preoccupation. Many people I meet that are depressed, I don't mean clinically hardcore depressed. I'm talking about normal people who go through ups and down depressed. Most often, it's because they're preoccupied